Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, or wherever you are today and share with you the living Word of God. However, just before we get into the ministry of the Word, I want to take time off to share some basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries. And we are located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., every midday Tuesday from 12:15 to 1 p.m. for a midday Bible study, and then every Friday evening from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. So if you have been listening to the program, are tremendously blessed, you live in the East-West Corridor and would like to come and be a part, check us out for any one of our three services. It will be a tremendous blessing to your life. If you would like to connect with us by phone, you can call us at 623-1889 or 746-0829. Also, you can learn about more about us by going to the website. It's fogwm.org, and you will be tremendously blessed by all the information that is there that you can go on and learn about the ministry. Then, we have some ministries we partner with, you know, nice friendship with, and we work with. One is called the Prayer Sanctuary, that is run by Minister Marcia Roberts, and they meet every Tuesday from 10:30 to 12 for a time of prayer where they pray primarily for the nation. I do participate in the prayer time. And then when that is finished, we get into Bible study from 12:15 to almost 1 o'clock. So come if you have the time and you can come to spend some time praying, come. And if you have need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues, come. We will minister to you also at the prayer sanctuary. Then the prayer sanctuary meet every third Saturday from 2:30 to 6 p.m. for prayer school. So you want to work with in the area of intercession, you have the time, you want to spend some time praying, check them out. And then every second and fourth Friday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. is breakthrough prayer. So they and prayer sanctuary is located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria, same place, just opposite, but primarily the same building. Then we also partners with Temple of Grace Ministry. Lovely couple. They have stepped out in faith. The church is a nice young ministry, and they have services every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. So you live in the Coover, California area, I want to invite you to Temple of Grace, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. It's on the Old Southern Main Road, heading south in the California area. You cannot miss the big sign, Temple of Grace. Go have some awesome time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, we want to get into our study. We are studying the subject, the Word of Wisdom. And while I was on the Word of Wisdom, we were looking at it from 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, where it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." We define that the word of wisdom is considered one of the revelation gifts. The other two revelation gifts are the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirit. And in dealing with the word of wisdom, we covered extensively what it is not. And we began last week to deal with what the word of wisdom is. We established it's a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts facts in the mind of God. We establish that these facts relate to persons, places, and things. We establish it always points to the future and not the past. We establish also that sometimes we have to sit and allow the word of wisdom to bring itself to pass, and at times we have to work together with the word of wisdom. Then I stepped into the whole concept of, if you are a prophet, these are the gifts of the Spirit. These revelation gifts should be one or two or all three must operate in your life. And when I say must operate in your life, I don't mean in every service. You see, because those are things people don't understand. People think God didn't move in the service if every service somebody didn't get healed, if every service we didn't have a tongues and interpretation, if every service somebody didn't fall out under the anointing. We think God didn't move. Well, why didn't you tell that to Jesus? Because Jesus had services where nobody got healed. Red flag. Yes. What you saying, man of God? Yes. There are times where, for example, in Mark chapter 6, the Bible says that he struggled to get any miracles done. But he did do a lot of Bible teaching. Why? Because teaching cures unbelief. You understand me? What you don't know causes you to not believe right. And when you don't believe right, you cannot function in faith. Because faith is based on information. That's why Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there were times where Jesus had services and there were no signs and wonders confirming the word following. And then there were times he had services and there were signs and wonders confirming the word following. Now, we have this perception that if you have a service and we didn't have tongues, we didn't have interpretation, nobody fall out, and all you do is preach or teach the Bible, we didn't have a good service. No. You forget that the word of God is anointed. And once it's proclaimed with that anointing, oh, it is doing its work. Amen. And sometimes it's like that. So we think that, if you are my prophet, then every time I stand up, I must prophesy. And I'm no. If you are called to a prophetic ministry and all you do is depend on the revelation gifts to take you through a service, you would be the most miserable person out. Why? Because these manifestations are given as the Spirit will. Notice what it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given through every man to profit with all. This is 1 Corinthians 12:7. If it is given, you have to ask yourself, what is given? He didn't say the gifts of the Spirit is given to every man. He says the manifestation of the Spirit, or the manifestation of a gift, is given. Not a gift. So you and I don't control none of the gifts. So because you don't control it, you can have a service and none of them be in manifestation. For example, I have healing services and sometimes no word of knowledge, no gifts of healing is in manifestation. Well, can I not get people healed? Yes. How? Teach them God's word. Teach them how to believe, get them to act in faith on God's word, and it will produce the same results as if gifts of the Spirit and word of knowledge were in manifestation. See, because I have seen people feel, oh God, his service wasn't good enough. Why? The anointing didn't flow. Nobody fall out, this and that. No, every service don't have to be like that. You would be surprised. I am used in particular ways by the Lord, but many times on a Sunday morning, it's just pure Bible teaching. And I like it that way because you help people become educated in the things of God, and you don't just have a set of dummies who are falling all over the place. And bear with me, but you understand where I'm coming from. So it's important. So it's not every service that you will have a manifestation, because verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, and don't take off your radio because I said that, listen, you may learn something. It says, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, watch it, dividing to every man severally. Now watch this part, as he wills. So hear what you could be saying, right, Pastor? So you're telling me God will have a service and no will to use one of his manifestation of his gifts? Yes, exactly so. Why is that so? Because he does not have to use a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit to always get supernatural results. Then how is he going to? What pleases God? The Bible said, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. So how does faith come? Through the word. So what will he use? The ministry of the word. And what will happen when I get the ministry of the word? I now have the ability to believe it or to doubt it. And if I believe it, I need to turn that belief into faith and begin to act on what I believe. And when God sees faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please him without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's going to respond, and supernatural things will happen. But you see, we have only focused on gifts of the Spirit for making a service effective. No, God has. So, and I said all that to say this, that if you're called to the office of the prophet and none of the word of wisdom and word of knowledge operate in the service, make sure your ministry of the word is strong, because God is going to use the ministry of the word to do things also. Didn't the Bible says that the word of God is a more sure word than prophecy? So you get where I'm coming from. So we have the potential to do that. So let me go back now and let's look at some examples of the word of wisdom in operation. First of all, we're going to look at the word of wisdom in operation through in Jesus' life. Look at Jesus dealing with Peter. Jesus predicted through the word of knowledge that Peter is going to deny him in Matthew 26. Okay, Matthew 26. Let's take it from verse 69. It says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace." Now, if you want to know the story, the history behind all of this, then you're going to have to read from verse 1 in Matthew 26, but I don't have time for that. But in verse 69, it says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel or girl came unto him saying," and I want to read this out in the New King James, right? It says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he," Peter, "denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying." Verse 71, "And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fella also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied, and this time with an oath." What do you mean with an oath? "I am telling you by a God Almighty, I don't know Jesus." That's it. He did it by an oath. He said, "I do not know the man." And or he could have used some other figurehead, but I'm just using, you know, the way we speak. Verse 73, "And a little later, those who stood by came and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to cuss and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered, and Peter remembered, and Peter remembered." What did he remember? The words, the word of Jesus, who had said to him, what did Jesus say to him? "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." He went out and wept bitterly, because at the time Jesus told Peter that before the rooster or the crows, you will deny me three times, it was Peter didn't perceive how that was going to happen. It was a word of wisdom through Jesus to Peter about something that will happen in Peter's life in the future. And it came to pass. You get me? I want you to understand that it came to pass. Now, let's look at the next one. How to put it? And let's look like, I don't want to go into too much, but let me look at the next one. And, well, no, that's not, it points to the future, and I'm going to leave it there, all right? What I want to do is look at how you and I can work with the word of wisdom, because if the word of wisdom is futuristic, I need to know how to use it to see God's plan and purpose come to pass in my life. Now, before we could begin to look at how we need to work with a word of wisdom, we need to understand how God brings his word to pass. Now, Jeremiah 1 verse 12 is an awesome verse of scripture. And I want us to look at Jeremiah 1 and verse 12 as we study this. It says in Jeremiah 1 verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." That is the New King James. In the traditional King James, here's what it says. "Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." Now, when a word of wisdom is given, you have to understand this, that when God says something, not all the time it is our responsibility to bring it to pass. He brings it to pass independent of us. But there are times we have to work with it. And in working with anything God has said, sometimes it can be challenging because of our humanistic way of thinking. Here's how we think when it comes to God. It has nothing God can do. Anything God wants to do, he could do. He has the ability to do anything. And that's the humanistic thinking that we have. But we miss God by that type of thinking. Because even though God is all powerful, there are things God cannot do. Let that sink. Pastor, what are you saying? Yes, God cannot lie. So there are things God cannot do. And if there are things that God cannot do, I have to understand that, you know, when I'm walking with God, I have to pay attention to the things that he could do and the things he cannot do. So in this verse it says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I have hasten my word to perform it." Now, because of our humanistic thinking, this word hasten here, we abuse that word, because in the English dictionary, the word hasten means quickly. So we think that if God gave us a promise, a prophetic word about the future, that God is going to quickly bring that thing to pass. And then you sit in hope, waiting for it to happen quickly, and 3 months down the road, nothing changed. But you could bear with that. 6 months, nothing changed. By the time it hit 9 months, a year, something wrong here. You begin to lose heart. By the time it hit 2 years, well, oh God, you gone through the roof. You ain't believing again. But your perception of hasten may be incorrect. So let's look at this word hasten, because we need to have a good understanding if we're going to flow with what God is wanting to do. The word hasten in the Hebrew means this, that God is watching over his word to do it. Let me say that again. The word hasten in the Hebrew language, which is what the Old Testament was written from, means watching over my word to do it. There's a translation that is called the English Standard Version, and hear how the English Standard Version translates Jeremiah 1:12. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, You have well seen, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Oh, wow. He said, "For I am watching over my word to perform it." So when it says, "Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten," it means that God is watching over his word. So if we had to paraphrase Jeremiah 1:12, this is how it would sound. "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will watch over my word to perform it." So what God is saying is, listen, when I give you a word of wisdom, I will look over that to perform that. You get where I'm coming from? I'll look over it to perform it. You don't have to worry. I will look over it to perform it. And there's a beautiful scripture here in the book of Psalm, let me see if I could find it. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 4. Here's what David said about God. He said, "I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which has made heaven and earth." Verse 3, "He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber." Verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now, so how does this relate? When God is looking over his word, he will never slumber nor sleep to perform it. He will perform it. So when Jesus told Peter that he would deny him, the Spirit of God began to move over that, to perform that. Are you getting where I'm coming from? So you have to learn to work with the prophetic word that God gave you. And some of you are stressing out yourself because you taught that Jeremiah 1:12, which says hasten, means quickly. No. In the original Hebrew, it simply means to look over to do. For example, one of the reasons why we lie is because we make promises and we don't look over those promises to perform them, because we never plan to. You know, people, I said, "Am I seeing you in church?" Yeah, Pastor, you said that to get me off your back. You were never planning to look over that to perform it, to make sure you are in church, come hell or high water. You understand where I'm coming from? It's just a phrase of speech. You were never intending to fulfill that. You have no choice. You know, somebody said, "You're going to come and do the thing." You know you're not going to come, but to get them off your back, you say yes. But you know to yourself, you're not going to look over that word to perform it. Then there are people you make promises to, and you look over that promise over and over. You make sure everything you do is done in a particular way so you could fulfill that promise. Well, God did not make, when God said, I will hasten, that is what he had in mind. That, listen, I said this and I will hasten to look over it. I'll make sure I'm looking over it to see it come to pass. So if God has given you a promise and it hasn't come to pass yet, don't give up. Hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. God is looking over that promise to perform it in your life. If he told you that he's going to come true for you financially, hold on to that promise. He's going to come true. If he's promised you some things about your health and healing, hold on to that. He's going to come true. If he promised you some things about your family, hold on to that. He is going to come true. It doesn't matter what he promised. If he promised it and you know it's futuristic, hold on to that. He will come true. You have to know how to work with a word of wisdom. Watch this other verse, 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 19. And I may have an end coming here, but watch this. 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 19. It says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to, now watch this, the prophecies which went before on thee. Now notice he didn't say according to the prophecy, but prophecies. So it means that Timothy may have received more than one prophecy, and that prophecy could have been pointing to one particular thing, but God spoke to him more than once through others in reference to that one particular thing. Why does God do it like that? I cannot give all the answers. I really don't have all the answers, but it happened like that. Now, Paul is encouraging Timothy in reference to those prophecies, he said, which went before on thee, he says, pay attention to them that thou mayest by them war a good warfare. What's going on here? The Spirit of God is saying, listen, when you receive a word of wisdom which points to your future, or even a word of knowledge, or a word that points to your past and present, and it's came through the vehicle of a prophecy to you, hold on to it and wage good warfare. Not just warfare, no, good warfare. Why is it good? Because you already found out from God that you win. So your fate stance is not to try and win again. Your fate stance is to defend the position that you have, which is a position of I have won. So I'm not trying to win. I'm not doing warfare here to win the battle. I've already won. I'm doing warfare here to defend something that I already have. And that's a different mindset we have to have, because most of us, when we go into so-called spiritual warfare, is to win the battle. We don't see that ourselves going into spiritual warfare to defend a victory we already have. We see ourselves going in to gain a victory we don't have. And that is where we miss God. Because when we do it like that, it means that we have not understood the past tense of God's word. Simply put, the past tense of God's word means this: whatever God has said yes to, he cannot now say no to. In 2 Corinthians 1, I think it's verse 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there, it says, all the promises of him in Christ are yes and amen. What it simply means is that anything God has already said yes to, he cannot now say no to. And sometimes we confuse ourselves because we don't fight as though God has already said yes. We fight as though God has said no, and we're trying to get him to say yes. And you know, we quote, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violence take it by force. So I'm violently going in there to take it from God as though God is the one who is holding it back from us. Is it possible that God is not the one who is holding it back? Is it possible that it is the enemy who, according to John 10:10, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? Is it possible that it is that person who is holding it back and not God, and we are fighting the wrong person? God is not the one holding back our healing. God is not the one holding back our prosperity. God is not the one holding back the baptism with the Holy Spirit. God is not the one holding back your children from being saved. No, Satan is doing that. So what you do, you don't fight God, you fight the devil. And the way you fight the devil is that you fight him from knowing your place of victory. Here's what Paul told Timothy: this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, the prophecies might war a good warfare, not a bad warfare, a good warfare. Why? Because you win. You know, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Why do you think it's a good fight? It's a good fight because you already win. You understand me? See, you cannot say the fight is good if you have never won. You have to fight and defeat the person before you could say, ah, this is a good fight. But if someone did the fighting for you, if someone gained the victory for you, then you don't have to fight. All you have to do is rest in that victory. Are you understanding me? So you're not doing warfare trying to get God to move. You're doing warfare defending a position God has already given you. What's the provision? The position? He has said through prophecy, all these things over your life, wage a good warfare. I have done this, and I did this with anytime God gave me a prophetic word about something and it carries a word of wisdom. I normally go to the verse, I think it's 2 Chronicles 20:20. I hope I'm quoting it right, where it says, believe the prophet, so shall you prosper. And I would confess with my mouth that I received that prophetic word. I believed the man of God when he spoke it over my life, and that word is prospering in my life. It shall come to pass. There is no two ways about it. And I say it in the midst of negative situations around me that is fighting against that coming to pass. Why? Because I believe in the prophet. He says, so shall I be prosper. I believe his word, so shall I be succeed. And I do that. Amen. Now, this is really good, but I'm out of time. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry. It has certainly been a joy sharing God's word with you. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 623-1889 or 746-0829. And someone will be there to connect with you. If you need prayer for healing, you need the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you need to be saved, you whatever you need, someone is there at these two numbers, 623-1889-746-0829. Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Go on to fogwm.org, and these lessons I'm teaching, they are there. You can listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It will be a tremendous blessing to your life. Now, we want to give you an opportunity to sow generously into our ministry. It costs money to be on the air. It is not cheap. It costs money to be on the air, but we want to give you an opportunity to share in us financing what God has called us to. You could go to any First Citizen branch and sow a generous financial seed into Focus on God's Word Radio Ministry. Account number 175-8015. Focus on God's Word Ministry, Radio Ministry, account number 175-8015. It has certainly been a joy sharing God's Word with you. Looking forward to being with you next time. Stay blessed, stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, Spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.